This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to do the meringue-a-tang?
No, because right. Then I'm stealing, and yeah. Stealing is bad.
Okay. That's his thing.
Yeah, I know. You don't have anything, though.
I mean, yeah, right now I don't have a thing.
Just grunt? Yeah. That's like an Ortner-type deal.
Well, he is an offensive lineman.
Yeah. I think that would be unappealing for the people who are sitting down to eat their lunch. Just like, good afternoon.
Do you know what we do in this first segment usually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How unappealing that is a lot of the time.
I'm aware.
Are you familiar?
Well, I'm just saying, like, the thing that I used to do, no offense, yeah. Okay. I used to steal from you all the time.
Oh, all right.
When I was in college, it was good morning,
yeah,
good afternoon.
Right. There we go.
That's what I did. And so now I have to come up with my own thing, and I'm realizing. Yeah. Coming up with your own thing is really hard.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, I just toned down Robin Williams from Good Morning Vietnam, though.
See, that's
like that was when I was doing mornings. It's like, I mean, I'm not gonna go full.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning Vietnam. Yeah. But
good morning Portland.
See, yeah, no, I don't know. I gotta come up with a thing. It's not gonna
be
monkey
noises. Hot and SE day followed by more hot and SE weather.
yeah. You do need to come up with something.
I'll figure out my own thing.
Yeah.
It'll happen. You gotta let it happen naturally. Because if you try and force it, then your thing's no good.
Yeah, you don't want to force it.
You can't force your thing.
You can't force your
thing. See, I think I forced my chow belly, and it's not right. I don't think it's right.
I don't know. I like it.
I like it. I think it works for you.
All right.
I used to really like Lynch's old, like, hello. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're here. We're partying. I'm going to just go ahead. I'm going to get this out of the way. I'm a little punch drunk today.
I bet.
I'm still a little punch drunk.
It was a hell of a weekend.
I don't know what's going to happen. I might put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllables today.
I love that's one of my favorites.
But I'll tell you what, Big Ten After Dark.
It's different.
It hits different.
Yeah.
It is a long. So
it's later.
I feel like, though, at least it was kind of a soft launch. You know what I mean? But your
explain Big Ten, yourself, sir.
Your Big Ten introduction, your introduction into Big Ten play is at the Rose Bowl
is
playing
Rose
UCLA.
Bowl. Yeah, that's that was that was a whole. It was just a weird kind of feeling.
It's a soft launch.
It was a very soft launch.
Yeah,
it was weird to see the Big Ten logos on the Rose Bowl field.
Yeah,
really weird.
I will say, I don't know what it looked like on TV, what it sounded like on TV. That crowd was about 60-40 UCLA to Oregon fans.
I'm surprised. Are you saying 60 Oregon?
No, it was
60
it was,
UCLA.
It may have been closer to 50-50.
Yeah.
But on the side that you all saw on TV, where the Oregon bench was, that was mainly Oregon fans, and then the student section just below. There was a lot of Oregon fans there, so that was kind of a weird little quirk and situation to it too.
Well, and also, like, if you're a UCLA fan, it's hard to get to the Rose Bowl. Mm. You get stuck in traffic all day getting there, all night leaving, and your team kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Why would you want to go?
Yeah.
And it's at 8 o'clock. There are better things to do in L.A. at 8 o'clock than go to that game.
Yeah, but it was actually a decent crowd.
Yeah.
Decent crowd. But it was soft launch to welcome to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And then even this week is an even softer launch, because not only is it your first Big Ten home game not on a Saturday, it's on a Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's against Michigan State, which there's familiarity with the programs and the fan bases.
Jonathan Smith. Also
Jonathan Smith and basically every good player on that team had played at Oregon State.
Yeah,
you know, true.
It's a weird...
Easing your way into the Big Ten.
Yeah, and then the following week,
you're in.
Hard launch.
Hard launch. Hard
launch. Yes. Which, by the way, they announced that one 4:30 on Peacock.
Yeah.
And NBC.
NBC. Yes. Well, you just
be on Peacock.
Yeah,
too.
You don't want to go Peacock.
I'm sorry.
It's not just it's not just on Peacock, because that's happened.
It's their big prime timer.
Yeah, which that was broken by Joel Klatt mid-August, remember?
Yeah.
That's when we all found out about the networks have a draft.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a trade consummated between Fox and NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so originally, so there was a chance that was the big nooner.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know which, like, they didn't know which way to go. They didn't know if they were going, should we go October 12th? Should we go November 2nd? You know, which one do we go with? So they traded with NBC, and NBC ends up getting Oregon, Ohio State on what is one of the biggest weekends of all of college football, October 12th. So we got that.
That primetime time slot.
Back to Oregon, UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
That game, the first quarter, I was like, this is moving along.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we're
cruising. And then they put the brakes on that thing in the biggest way possible. That second half took forever to finish.
I kept looking at my phone like, really? Like, we're still this much left to go in the third? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like most of the college football games, when they hit the brakes hard, it's because it turns into like a ref show.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad of a ref show. Like, no, when I remember, it just...
There's commercial break every...
It slowed down.
Like, every time you blinked, it was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Was that the old score commercial break, extra point commercial break?
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah. Kickoff. Yeah. It was a whole thing.
But it was bad. You mentioned it's hard to get in and out of the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah. For you,
so
especially.
So, I didn't go with the team this trip. I went and I flew commercial, so I had to go back to the hotel after the game. Mm-hmm. I had three Ubers cancel because Uber drivers just get sick of waiting in the traffic. I didn't get picked up till like 12:45.
Like, yeah, F you, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I can confirm this. It's the first time in my life I think I've ever called you and you were like, what?
Yeah.
Usually if Dusty answers, it's, hey buddy, how's it going?
Hey,
what's going on?
Yeah, let's go.
Very nice and cheerful.
Yeah. It was brutal. And my Uber driver's name was Danny. I had an Uber driver named Danny.
Danny
picked me. She picked me up.
I was going to say, did you check the trunk for like a shovel and lie?
No. She picked me up and she was great. And I did my post game hit with you guys live from the back of the Uber. And then I went to when I booked my flight, I'm like, this is perfect. I'm going to leave early. Hopefully it's like a 12:30 or 1 o'clock kick.
Mm-hmm.
Go get some sleep. Go to the airport. No, I got 2 hours of sleep before I had to be back at the airport to head to my daughter's soccer games here in Portland. So I went off 2 hours of sleep, and it's still catching up to me right now because we're blowing it going, man.
Yeah. Got the fire hose fully inserted.
Brent Venables would say, we are blowing and going. The fire hose is fully inserted.
In my mouth here.
My thing isn't up.
There we go. Sorry.
The fire hose is fully inserted in my mouth here. We've been blowing and going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. That's a great quote.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Don't do that with fire hoses. That's bad.
No.
Those are strong.
Mm. Are you going like double coffee then? Like, what's your.
I don't drink coffee.
I'm not a coffee guy.
Well, you're a 5-hour energy guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you going 10-hour energy right now?
No. I don't want my heart to explode.
See, I put the Mio energy squirt stuff in my water bottle.
That's
my coffee alternative.
Yeah. I'm forcing myself to drink coffee.
I do chai tea.
Ooh, see,
I'm a big chai tea guy. I love good chai tea. Yeah.
Chai tea got ruined for me. My brother's a big chai tea guy, and so he used to like force it upon me. He would sneak it into different drinks when we lived together back in college.
What?
Yeah, he would. I'd be like, hey, man, can you get me a drink?
He's dosing you with chai?
Yeah, well, so like he runs
the Dutch
Bros. Your
brother kind of seems predatory.
Yeah, but there's never a time.
Does his towel smell funny?
Hold on. There was never a time.
It starts with chai tea. That could escalate.
It ends with chloroform.
Very quickly.
Well, I think nothing happened. I'm going to say nothing happened, but what I remember is...
Because you don't remember it.
That's fair.
We're having drinks tonight, Will. You want this roofie colada?
Well, no, because he only ever picked up. He runs a Dutch Bros, so he'd be like, "Hey, I'm coming back from work. Do you want anything?" Like, yeah, just grab me whatever. Mm. Surprise me. And it was almost always chai tea. And it's like, dude, I hate this.
Which, by the way, Dutch Brothers related. The White Christmas is another chai beverage.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
All right.
And then they also have like super awesome chocolate milk, and you can get a chocolate milk chai.
Yeah, there's like a special thing about their chocolate milk, and I don't remember what it is exactly, but
I don't know. He's probably dosing it with something. From what I've learned here.
Well, it just said chai. He was sneak attacking me with chai.
All right.
Everybody starts somewhere.
Is your brother fully ingrained into the Dutch mafia?
Oh,
now is he buddy. Like deep in it?
Oh, buddy. Yeah. You now? He was born in it, man. He's a made man. If they had he's the Don of Ellensburg's Dutch Bros.
All right.
Because he's the manager. Also, shout out to him. He gets married in 5 days.
Shout outs to your brother getting married.
Yeah, to China.
Oh.
The wrestler?
Like the country? No, she's
no,
dead.
The person.
Oh, she did die, didn't she?
Yeah.
Way
and
to
this
go.
One spells yeah. it differently.
Well.
Wait. So with an I?
Yeah, like the country.
Like the country.
Like the country.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to them.
Soon. Yeah, I'm not huge. Congratulating them until Friday.
All right.
Until you get there.
Yeah, I won't jinx anything. The announcer's jinx.
Yeah, can't call it a no-hitter until, what, the 7th?
I think you just you stay away from both of them for the next 4 days.
You need to give him the out. Like
no.
What you need? No, what you need to do is because you need this, you plant that seed. You go, hey, we got a plane gassed up, ready to go. If you want to run, now's yeah. your time to do it.
We got a ticket if you need it.
And if he thinks about it, if he thinks about it,
yeah,
you know that wedding. Like if he's like, ooh, then you're like, okay, this ain't gonna work. And that gives you carte blanche. I mean, that wedding, you can do whatever you want.
I can mess around. I do yeah. have a best man speech I have yet to prepare.
Oh, you got a couple days.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. I think we'll be okay. Also, those two, they have a dog. You got to get married once you get a dog.
Can I give you a touch of advice on the best man speech?
I'd love it.
Oh, here we go.
Keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
That's kind of the plan. The plan right now, I have a rough outline in my brain. I'm not going notes. I think that's kind of lame. I think you got to go off the heart.
Keep it short and sweet and don't get too loaded beforehand.
Right.
Because then you'll go on for like 15 minutes and you'll start spilling secrets that nobody needs to hear.
See,
you remember that one time?
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Good luck to you in that.
I appreciate it.
We could crowdsource it.
We could
write your best man speech on
there
this
we go.
Show.
Should I AI my... We'll go to...
We will 1080 the fan AI that son of a gun.
ChatGPT, and we will write this. No, I've got a story. Say nice things about the bride. Make a little bit of fun of your brother. Get out.
Oh, there you go. Right,
that's the plan.
Go. Yeah.
There you go.
That's
perfect.
The plan.
So your brother runs... Ellensburg Dutch Mafia, huh?
He is the Don.
I had, like, when I was in college at Southern Oregon, it
the
was
birth.
Right. I mean, it's a Grants Pass company, Dutch Brothers is.
Mm-hmm.
They had just a handful of locations when I got into college. There were, and you have to, like, they have a weird deal where, like, you have to work there, manage a location in order to.
In order to own
one,
it,
right?
Yes.
It's what my brother's doing right now.
They were, that was at the beginning, like the infancy of their franchising was early 2000s. I kid you not, there were women that I went to college with who dropped out of school and they were like, we're just going to own Dutch Brothers now.
That's my brother.
Filthy rich.
Yeah.
Because like they went from like having like 5 locations to like 150 in the longer than usual time I was in college.
Yeah. Yeah. In the,
you know what? There's a lot of people that go to school for 7 years.
I think there's 2 sitting in this room right now. Yeah.
I mean.
The other ones are called doctors.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check my Twitter. It says MD.
They went from like 10 to, they opened their 50th location in 2004, which would
50th?
Have been. Yeah, 50th in 2004.
Yep.
And then by 2009, they had 135 shops.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they're out in Tennessee now.
Yeah, they're all over the place
they're
now.
They're in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. So that is real. When you talk about, like, the Dutch Mafia, like, you have to work there, bring all the energy in the world, manage the place, and then you can own one.
You have to give the envelope up to the next person.
It's what?
The next, well, yeah. I mean, it's the mafia. Yeah, well, you gotta kick up.
They probably actually do that, though.
I'm only half kidding.
Forget it.
Well, I'll tell you where they are prolific, and there are a ton of them, is in, like, the greater Boise and, like, Nampa, Caldwell, Eagle area. Yep. They are everywhere.
Going to Vancouver. Southwest Washington, yeah. I think there's one on every block. They might have more Dutch Bros than Starbucks.
Crazy. The
same thing, yeah, like in Tampa.
It's crazy.
Have you guys seen the undercover boss with the guy who owns it?
Mm-mm.
With Mr. Dutch?
Yeah.
Or Mr. Bro?
It's Mr. Bro.
Well, no, his name is Dutch Brothers.
Well, no, I will tell you this.
Right?
You're sitting there and you're like, this company is wildly successful.
Mm.
You know, these guys are probably pretty buttoned up.
No.
When he talks, he's like,
what's up?
Hey, I don't know. Like, I didn't know that this is what my employees were going through.
Is this Spicoli? Is he full Spicoli?
Dude, he kind of is. Russ, I'm sure it's on the interwebs.
Sod it.
Yeah, 100%.
Nick Coletti.
Like, you can hear him talk, and you go, that was not what I was expecting coming out of your mouth.
See, I don't know. I don't know about that, because if there was a buttoned-up dude running the Dutch Bros, I don't know that I'd buy into that. You need a surfer bro running Dutch Bros. You need a guy who's hanging out with Aaron Rodgers in the darkness retreats.
All right, counterpoint. He's from Grants Pass.
It's kind of a bro-y. Okay, fair. Also bro-y.
Dude, Grants Pass, super sneaky, like, surfer.
Bro-y.
No. Never mind.
No, they got jet boat races. That's what they got.
Boatnik. They're bro-y, though.
Yeah, Boatnik is very bro-y. Ever gone down to Boatnik, it's a good time. And that's the jet boat races.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is very bro-y down there.
Look, get made fun of here all the time for being bro-y.
Mm.
If I know that they're bro-y, it's a whole other level.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, we got a lot of football to get to. Let's get this. We'll recap the world of college football. Oregon running away against UCLA down in the Rose Bowl, where the defense really put up their most complete performance of the season so far. We have a ton of NFL action in conversations to get to as well, and I think that's where we should start, because what we saw in Week 4 of the National Football League, we're in the upside down. If you just take a step back, you take the first 4 weeks into account, tell me, who are your top three quarterbacks in the NFL right now? 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Forward text line. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. All right, let's take a step back. I don't think anybody is going to argue that when you list, like, the top quarterbacks in the National Football League, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
Josh Allen is going to be in that conversation. Joe Burrow is up there as the best quarterbacks in the NFL because of the body of work, what we know of them and who they are.
Right.
If you step back and you go through the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, who are playing the quarterback position the best?
It's not going to be those guys.
I don't. It's a weird thing to say. Patrick Mahomes is undefeated. But
yeah.
But not playing the best?
He is not playing the best. He has 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the season. Third down, up until yesterday, they've been a disaster through 3 of the first 4 weeks on third down.
Yep.
Will it figure out? Yeah, they'll figure it out. And that's why you have those guys as they are the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Mm.
But through the first 4 weeks of the season, the guys playing at the highest level are not the guys. I mean, outside of Josh Allen has been playing at an insanely high level because of the fact that you think of he has not thrown an interception this year.
Right.
He is working through finding new number one wide receiver and really doesn't have a true number one wide receiver. And he is playing insanely well with his legs too. I would probably put Josh Allen in the top three quarterbacks of the NFL right now.
Definitely last top night, 5.
Last night was tough.
Yeah, but also, you're playing Baltimore in Baltimore on Sunday night, and I understand that they lost their defensive coordinator. Thank you, by the way. He's done pretty well up in Seattle. But you know that defense is going to get right. They have too many stars on it for it not to get figured out. And yeah, they're 2-2, but I mean, they're a size 8 cleat away from beating Kansas City.
So. Yeah, they are. They really are so close to being 3-1.
Yeah.
Instead of 2-2.
Well, I mean, shoot, just finish your game against Vegas.
Yeah, they could be 4-0 and right there. That's why the panic early.
No reason for it. Yeah,
I don't. Yeah. That's why I think it's an interesting conversation to have through, you know, you still break the season down into quarters. We are a quarter away through the NFL season after tonight's Monday night double dip. Twin bill, as I heard Jeff Russ say.
That's right. It's not a double header.
It's not a double header.
Double dip and twin bill, not a double header.
It is not a double header. Mm. Okay. There are two games again tonight on Monday Night Football.
I am very staunch against that.
Who are your top three quarterbacks in the NFL through the first 4 weeks?
Well, I mean, I think at number one, if I would have told you that that this guy would be number one at the beginning of the year, you'd be like, oh, wow, you're a big time Commanders fan. But right now, Jaden Daniels, to me, is number one. Like, what he's been able to do with his legs and what he's been able to do passing. I mean, that team right now, they're what, 3-1? And most people pick them as a cellar dweller, or the only reason that they weren't in last place in that division is because they beat up on the Giants in a couple games. He had multiple games where that offense scored on every drive. And now I know against the Giants, it was all
field goals.
They punted
once in the last 3 weeks.
Once.
I think the wrong rookie quarterback sent a text to his punter saying, yeah, welcome aboard, but we don't need you.
We're not going to be punting much. He's at, what, 82% completion right now, which is the highest of a player ever through four games?
Yeah, okay.
It's
so
not
this,
even just through four games.
This is the crazy part about it. It's the highest of any player in any four-game span since 1950.
Well, I was going to say, I think I saw since the merger, but yes, 50. Long time.
They didn't even throw the ball back then.
Think about that. Any four games, you could take Tom Brady's, and this isn't a rookie thing.
Right.
This is
everybody.
At any player's point in their career. Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Take their best four games in a row. No player has done it at the clip that Jaden Daniels has done it through the first four games of his career.
82.1%. 2008, Peyton Manning, 81.8. He won the MVP. And 2007, Tom Brady, 79.2%. He also won the MVP.
Furthermore,
that year,
the offense, as you were saying, it is according to the EPA, so expected points above average per drive through the first 4 weeks of the season since 2000. Number five is the 2004 Minnesota Vikings. Number four, the 2004 Indianapolis Colts. Number three, the 2021 Kansas City Chiefs. Tyreek Hill.
Pretty good.
Travis Kelce. Number two, the 2024 Commanders. And the only team that they are behind is the 18-1 2007 New England Patriots.
Pretty good list.
That's incredible to think about.
Yeah.
What they are doing. And it's not like, you know, he doesn't have a Randy Moss. Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have a Randy Moss or a Tyreek Hill. Or
we're not including Tiny Baby McCaffrey in that bunch?
A Reggie Wayne.
Right.
The one that went to Rice.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to go even further into that. This, according to Jack Andrade, he said the Commanders' offense through four games in 2024, 23 scoring drives, 19 incomplete passes, four punts.
Wait, so they have more scoring drives than incomplete passes?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And it's not like it's a bunch of checkdowns. He's airing it out. I mean, some of those throws that he had against Cincinnati to McLaurin, he put it in the perfect spot. It was good defense. Yeah. The corner DB, that guy is right there. And he's putting it over dudes. And remember, this is a guy at Arizona State. They mocked him when he left. Yeah. He was so bad under Herm Edwards. All he could do was run. And he's turned into one of, if not the best passers right now through four games.
He has completed 35 consecutive passes under 15 yards. That,
like, how is it that Jaden Daniels broke the NFL?
I don't, well, his college offense, as Cam Taylor-Britt would say. You do have to take into consideration that sometimes you have a coordinator and a quarterback and they just fit. They're peanut butter and jelly, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got, and it doesn't make sense. Like peanut butter and jelly, that doesn't make sense. Delicious sandwich, an all-timer, a staple. But with Cliff Kingsbury in his air raid style and the way that Jaden Daniels can process that, it works really well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they are on the same page and have been on the same page. The beauty of the air raid is the simplicity of the air raid offense. And now he's not full on air raid in the NFL. You can't be a full on air raid offense in the NFL. But conceptually, what you're asking the quarterback to do, if you have a guy that processes very quickly, you have receivers that have to be on the same page too, because what the air raid is we only have an index card worth of plays here.
Right.
But if the receiver reads the defense properly and the quarterback reads the exact same thing, you have a beater for whatever coverage and whatever look you get. It's not always downfield in the way that defenses are playing right now. A lot of them are underneath, but that goes back to that 35 straight completed passes on 15 yards or less. You have quarterback and receivers that are diagnosing it and getting to it really quickly, which goes back to the kid that went to Rice, the third McCaffrey brother.
Yeah.
You know, smart receivers and a quarterback that can get it out quickly, you're going to have success. Jaden Daniels being number one, that sounds like a stretch, but the numbers kind of bear it out. Who do you got after him?
Well, if I'm going after him, I mean, look, it has to be the 7-year bump that Sam Darnold got. I mean, apparently once you hit year 7, because something happened with Derek Carr as well on his 7th year when he had that really good year down in Oakland. But Sam Darnold looks awesome. He picked apart that Green Bay defense aside from one bad throw yesterday, which it's him trying to make a play that he didn't need to make a play on because the Packers were coming back in that game. Just be smarter with that football. But he's not just relying on, oh, I'm throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. He's dotting up defenses. Oh, by the way, his best safety valve isn't playing right now. TJ Hawkinson isn't playing right now. He just got Jordan Addison back, and he made sure to use Jordan Addison up. Sam Darnold looks like what Colin Cowherd was saying Sam Darnold was going to be out of USC.
I think it was Kevin O'Connell last week that said that quarterbacks don't fail teams. Teams fail quarterbacks.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that take. You know, like right now, what you're seeing is when quarterbacks, because Sam Darnold's not the only one. You could throw Baker Mayfield into this conversation. You could show
how Bryce Young's been doing.
You could show Jared Goff into this conversation. Geno Smith up in Seattle. Like, you can throw multiple quarterbacks into this spot where once they get with an offensive coordinator or a head coach who knows how to mold an offense around them and to the things that they do well and can simplify the game for them, so they're looking for one or two reads and then that lets them know what ball they're going to throw and to who, they seem to excel.
Mm-hmm. Who's you got? You have Baker 3? Is that what you said?
Probably Baker 3 right now. I mean, I wouldn't like get up in your face and yell at you and try and fight you if you were like Josh Allen 3.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually, well, if I look at it,
where does Lamar fit too?
Lamar is in there. Well,
Lamar's,
I think,
been good.
My three are Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels. Those three, because,
and then you still got Baker and Lamar Jackson.
And I think with Josh Allen, it is having to be an established guy on a roster and walk in and have a new receiver room, essentially, and have guys that you are going to have to find out who the number one is, whether that's Shakir or your number one draft pick and Keon Coleman, to take games over with his arm and his legs has been wildly impressive.
Right.
And I give a ton of credit to Josh Allen for that. Sam Darnold walking in and taking what he learned in San Francisco, the bumps that he has seen along the road in New York, in Carolina, and then resigning yourself to being a backup and then exploding with Kevin O'Connell with two of your top three targets for 2 weeks of the season. Pretty impressive in not having your tight end, your woogie, your safety blanket, and TJ Hawkinson for any of it. He has been wildly impressive. And then Jaden Daniels just on sheer readiness and efficiency. And look, I think the one thing that gives Allen a bump for me to number one, he hasn't thrown an interception all year.
Which is very uncommon because bad Josh Allen likes to show up every three or four games.
Yep. But this is like, these aren't who I believe the best quarterbacks in the NFL are. Because the best quarterback in the NFL is still Patrick Mahomes because of the body of work and what we know he can do. This is just a four-week quarter poll sample. You have, I think those three have been wildly impressive. They've been efficient. They're not giving the ball to the other team. Now, Darnold is the only guy in the NFL who has double-digit touchdown passes this season. The scoring is down, right? Yeah. And he is still finding a way to do it without all his targets.
Lighting it up.
Right?
Yep.
In that honorable mention, you have to put guys like Lamar Jackson, like Russ said. I think Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes obviously is in that honorable mention. And then Brock Purdy is doing a really damn good job with a revolving door, albeit he still has at least two stars on the field at all times, but a revolving door of guys coming in and out.
There was a point. And now I know you're playing the Patriots, but the Patriots actually have a decent defense. He was 9-for-10 for 199.
That seems good.
Brock Purdy is really good as well. And we're explaining the obvious at this point, but this is why people from that Shanahan McVay tree keep getting put into head coaching spots, or if they're a quarterback coach, now they get put into an offensive coordinator role. It's because this group has learned how to mold an offense that can make any quarterback successful. And like at this point, the zag is to go after the defensive guys. So in three or four years, do you see a bunch of Mike McDonald, you know, savants after him? Because that wouldn't shock me. He's the only one who's shown, you know, the ability to stop most of those offenses without having a star quarterback, I guess.
See, and I know this is outside of the conversation and we're way up against it, but with the 49ers, just holy Fred Warner, Batman.
That was an incredible interception.
He's special, dude. He is special.
Nuts.
They're drafting, they're paying of guys. You sit there and you're like, no wonder they're paying all of them. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're paying all of them.
Salary
in Fred Warner's
aren't because they're not paying Brock Purdy yet.
Yeah. Salary caps aren't real. They keep moving that money around.
All right. Well, let's get to some of your feedback. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Here's Rust. Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. Some of your feedback on the best quarterbacks in the NFL. P1B Rod, Lamar is one, Darnold two. Lamar has played legit teams and his stats are still unreal. Then three is Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson has been playing just out of this world. And last night, we'll get into Sunday Night Football a little bit later. But Sunday Night Football in the ability to run for 271 yards on a team in the NFL.
Right.
That's soul crushing. And I think what we're looking at with guys like Lamar and Josh Allen, who are two of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, their ability to run the football early in this season has been the key to their offense's success in moving forward. And look, as Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are 2-2, they are so close to being 4-0.
Right. I mean, they're what, a fourth quarter away, a finish away. They're a size 8 cleat instead of a size 10 cleat away from winning two different games. But I think the big thing for them, at least early on, you talked about the quarterback run. As a defense, when you have to account for the quarterback in the plus one run game, I mean, you get an extra blocker as an offensive player. You get an extra running back that can go out and make a hit. So now all of a sudden there's one less defender. You add more stress to the defense on what they have to cover, because if it is a pass play, they still have to have one guy that's not dropping back in coverage. He is spying. But the real game changer between Allen and Lamar is when they run, they can outrun most of those defenders that they're going against. Or in Allen's case, he'll just run over them.
Yep.
When you have a quarterback, now they can't do this for a full season, right? I mean, we've seen what will happen to both of them where they get banged up and they get injuries, and it can affect the team in the long term when it comes to their ability to pass. If you take a bunch of shots where you're low on your shoulder, all of a sudden you got a sore shoulder. It's going to be really, really hard for you to throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
But what they're doing right now, while they kind of let the rest of the offense kind of figure out their identity, it's working because they know that, hey, eventually we need to get back to us being able to air the ball out.
Another text says, it's clearly, and in order of rank, 1, Allen, 2, Jackson, 3, Baker. I don't think it is as clear as that, because I do agree Josh Allen is playing at the highest level right now of anybody in the NFL, but your list looks completely different. And I think both of us have Sam Darnold and Jaden Daniels in our top three because expectations of their rosters, we knew that Josh Allen and the Bills had high expectations.
Right.
They were pressing for an AFC East title this year and a Super Bowl contender. Lamar Jackson, same thing in the AFC North and in the AFC, a Super Bowl appearance. I didn't think that Sam Darnold leading the Vikings or Jaden Daniels leading the Commanders would either one of them be 3-1 at this point in the year.
No.
And their level of play has been wildly efficient. And that doesn't go to say that I think Sam Darnold and Jaden Daniels are two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right. for this season or overall. It's still Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow, those guys, right? But if you look at just the first 4 weeks of how they've performed, the expectations of their season, where we expect them to be, those guys are overshooting every expectation that we could have ever imagined. And it's not just them against themselves. They're doing it with comparable or better stats than Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and Jackson.
Right. And it might not be fair to Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, because the expectation is that they do perform this way, at least for Allen and Jackson, right? I would make the argument that Burrow and Mahomes have been underperforming based on what we're used to. And so that's, to me, why Jaden Daniels is a rookie. I expected him to have moments where he looks good. I expected him to have moments where he looks really bad. But you know what he's done right now? He's been the most efficient passer in the NFL. He's passing the ball and completing the ball at a rate that is better than anyone has ever done it before.
Ever.
Now, will he continue to do that? No, probably not. But through four games, that first quarter of the season that you like to talk about, break it up, 4-4-4, and then one extra gets 5 because we do a weird schedule thing. But right now, Jaden Daniels, as a rookie, with a team that was expected to be either last in that division or only not last because the Giants are that horrible, has his team as the number one team in the NFC East. And they've been the number one team in the NFC East since week 2. It's the same thing for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is the same guy that 3 or 4 years ago literally said on the sideline, "I'm seeing ghosts."
Yeah.
He was to the point where if it was up to Jets fans, he wouldn't even be in the league anymore. But he was able to figure it out. He's getting that 7-year bump. He's with O'Connell. He's now picking apart defenses. And you can make the argument they might be the best team in the NFL right now. Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's because of how he's playing.
It is. It is. And look, as Kevin O'Connell said, organizations let quarterbacks down. And they don't let teams down. Organizations let the quarterback down. And that's what we could be seeing. Another text says, Gino will be in, if Gino plays great tonight, he'll be in that conversation. He's turned the ball over a lot. He's got 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions on the season. He's got to take care of the football. And that is going to be, that's going to be the big one. His numbers, though, efficiency-wise, completion percentage-wise, yardage-wise, like raw yardage-wise, has been really good. And they're undefeated.
Right.
They are undefeated this year.
To be fair, his one interception that sticks out in my brain, he gets hit as he throws it. Yep. Broncos guy steps in. That's one of those weird, dumb turnover luck things. In my mind, he's not in the top 5, but he's in the conversation. Like we talked about Purdy being
tonight
in the conversation. Yeah. We talked about Lamar Jackson being in the conversation. He would join those guys who are also receiving votes.
Yeah, finishing drives with touchdowns important too. Gonna have to finish a lot of drives with touchdowns.
You know what? I had a really smart coach in college tell me that if you finish more drives in the end zone than the other team, you'll win the game.
Damn.
That's a free one for you. You can write that down.
I'm gonna write that down right
now. Well, that goes right along with why don't you just call the touchdown play every time?
Yep.
Well, usually we do call the touchdown play. You just get yelled at because you didn't execute your job, and that's why the touchdown didn't happen.
Bazinga. All right, we've got a very important nugget that we need to get to coming up next.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you were listening early Sunday morning, you will know. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Hey, if you were listening in the wee hours of the morning Sunday, you know who the Bellagio's player of the game is. The Bellagio's very best player of the game. If you were listening, text the name in from the Ducks-UCLA game to 503-864-6326. The first person to correctly identify the Bellagio's very best player of the game from the post-game show wins a free delicious pizza from Bellagio's Pizza. Dough and sauce made fresh 6 days a week right here in Wilsonville. Proud to be serving Northwest communities since 1996. Order online at bellagiospizza.com or through the app. Visit 1080thefan.com for complete contest details. If you know who the very best player of the game is, text us. 503-864-6326. We're going to have to see how many people were listening in the wee hours of the morning. And look at that. We've already got it.
We've already got a text.
We've already got the winner.
I don't know who sent that text in, but just so they know,
yeah,
I love them.
You don't need free pizza that bad.
It wasn't me, I swear.
Yeah.
360 area code. I'll tell you what, though. I love that person because that means that person was listening to the show, and I was pretty sure at a certain point it might have just been Buck and I.
Just talking.
Just hanging out, you know, like talking into the void a little bit. I get it, man.
We got more.
2 a.m. is... That's an early time to be up and paying attention.
I will tell you this. We were... During the game, Jorgie mentioned that. He goes, it's 7 a.m. in London right now. Like,
I like that he
just
knows.
Just throwing it out there. Oh, he looked it up.
Okay.
He looked it up. And so Jorgie threw it out there and just threw out Joey Mack's email address on the air, which was fantastic. But he was like, he emailed Joey Mack.
At least it was just his email address, and he didn't Dan Campbell that poor dude.
Well, it was...
He lives here.
He did it because Joey's email's already on the U of O website.
You can
find
it. It's not very hard.
It's right there. But so that's why I threw it out there. We had listeners in Australia, Singapore, Switzerland, Germany, Italy. Like, it was incredible. Like, Joey's email inbox just went all the way through. There were people like in New York, like, hey, we're not out of the country, but we're on the East Coast, and it is 3 a.m. right now.
Like, we're up. We're
sickos. And this game is just finishing. So there were a lot of people that were listening to the crack at hours.
Hey, you know what? The nice thing about being in that producer chair is you can see, like, on the YouTube what your true, like, listeners are. We were getting texts the entire time.
Mm.
I was a little convinced it was like Buck on like his second phone, like texting in lines, but it clearly wasn't based off all of the responses.
Could have been dirt. He was at a wedding.
That is true. Yeah. But on the YouTube, it said we had like 30 to like 50 viewers the entire time, all the way through. That's a pretty decent number right there. And at 2:30 in the morning, I don't think anyone else on YouTube was getting 50 listeners.
Yeah. Well, maybe there was East Coast people waking up trying to figure out what happened.
Like, did the Ducks win?
Get up to walk my dog. Right. What happened on the West Coast?
The Bellagio's very best player of the game was Tez Johnson, and what a game Tez had. Let's dive into the rest of it, because I think Tez may have been the very best player. The Ducks' defense showed a complete performance against the Bruins on Saturday. This is Danny and Dusty on the Fan.